Welcome to the Full-Time Moms Podcast.
I'm Sarah, a type A mom who is a high school math teacher.
And I'm Grace, a type B mom and kindergarten teacher turned stay-at-home mom.
We do motherhood differently, but we're here to support each other and you. Hey, Grace.
Sarah, what is up?
Well, I'm tired. I'll tell you that much.
I'm sure. You got back in the middle of the night from your vacation.
Yeah, I got home at 2 a.m. this morning, which was not the original plan. Because, you know, when I booked the flight originally, we were supposed to get in at like 9 p.m. And then after, I don't know, a month or something after, then like the flight time changed. I was like, okay, whatever. Like, we'll get in at midnight. Oh. Okay. And then, you know, we like sat on the airplane for an extra hour before taking off. And I was just like, oh my gosh, get me home.
Oh. Yeah.
Get my babies home.
Seriously. Oof. Those are long travel days. How did it go? Tell us about your week at the lake.
Yeah, so obviously, like, my yay this week was our trip that we just went on. Like I said before, though, we went and visited my in-laws. Now that they are retired, they live on a lake, which is, of course, a really fun place to be able to go visit them at. And the girls just had so much fun swimming multiple times a day. Like, we would get up in the morning, swim, have lunch, nap, swim again after nap, have dinner and stuff. So we were definitely very dirty throughout the week. But I just embraced it. I was like, that's fine. We'll be clean when we get home. And then I don't really know how there are shells because, like, outside of their house, like, it's not really beachy at all. It's just more rocky. But somehow there's, like, shells that have, like, appeared from somewhere. Not from Grandma. Let me just say, like, she has even said, like, I don't know how these shells got here. So she didn't go to the store and buy some and then, like, toss them in the lake for us. But the girls had fun picking up shells. And I was super proud of Nora for going tubing. Both girls went tubing, but Shay did it once and was, like, good the rest of the trip and was cool with just, like, hanging out on the boat, which totally fine. Like, you're two. Like, cool. But Nora, I feel like, had a lot of fun tubing and specifically had fun tubing with her big cousins on the tube with her. She got lots of special attention this week and I just think it made her feel extra special. And I feel like kind of like what I've said before, but like Colin has two older siblings and they are only like 16 months apart. And then there's like a 5-year gap between his older brother and him and then 5 years between him and his younger sister. And so there's kind of like an older cousin group and a younger cousin group. And we obviously are part of the younger cousin group. So it was just cool just seeing how much attention that older cousins were giving both my kids. But I feel like especially Nora felt just very seen and special and got lots of books read to her and just lots of like questions like, oh, Nora, did you have fun on the tube ride? Or
aww.
I don't know, just older kids making little kids feel special.
That's so sweet.
It was so sweet. And it also kind of like makes me really hope that my girls are like that in the future. I mean, of course, because even though they will forever be in the younger cousin group on Colin's side, on my side, my brother is married, but they haven't had any kids yet. And I'm anticipating, I mean, I could be wrong, but I anticipate like they won't be in the next few years either, just because my brother is like quite a bit younger than me. So I'm anticipating my girls will probably be a little bit older, you know, than their cousins that will, you know, likely be on my side. And so I hope that there is interested and sweet to their future little cousins because it just like warmed my little heart just seeing Nora like so happy hanging out with them.
So fun. Yay.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else. Yeah, and I guess I also feel like I mentioned this on our episode about building like sibling relationships, but every time that Colin and the siblings get together, like I've said before, they normally like stay up late into the night playing games, and it genuinely just brings a smile to my face every time when I just like hear all of them just like laughing so hard together and stuff. I just feel like that's really special too. And so there's lots of that happening every night as well. So it was awesome. It was a solid week, but I am tired. So
good. That's so fun.
How was your week? What was your yay?
Oh, man. Just yays on yays on yays. It was just such a summery week. We just went on lots of hikes. We grabbed snow cones with friends. I decided to add tie-dyeing to my summer bucket list. And we had two tie-dye parties with friends, so that was super fun.
Did the kids do t-shirts, or did you do...
Yeah, they did t-shirts. Other stuff. I would say, I think it's more of like, I would probably say like ages 6 and up. It's just,
okay,
you know, I have like my little paint or smocks. You're going to stain anything and your hands are going to be stained because the gloves were adult size and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, the little kids just lost interest. I mean, honestly, even the like 6 and 7 year olds, like the moms ended up finishing their shirts for them. A lot of them. I don't know. Well, this, but Graham did his. But, you know, I had to help make sure there's like enough dye on every section and stuff. So I don't know. I'm not recommending it.
Maybe
it
depends on how interested your kid may be.
Yeah. In crafty-ish things. Right. And as long as you're okay with the actual dye, like, you know, being it's everywhere. A messy. It's very messy. Yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
Though.
That was really fun.
So summery.
Yeah. And we did it like with one little group of friends, and we had a bunch of dye left over, and we invited people the next day. Like, it was just a really fun activity. And like, yeah, mostly the kids just played outside and played in the mud kitchen together while the moms just kind of did tie-dye and chatted. So that was super fun. My friend scheduled a tour of the fire department, and that was really fun. And we went to an art museum we've been wanting to go to, and it was just like a really fun summery week. It was just a good time.
Love it.
Yeah, it was great. I also did get a diagnosis for Graham, and again, I'm not really going to go into detail about that, but if you want to DM me if you have questions, comments, concerns, he got diagnosed with ADHD, so I am officially an ADHD mom. And yeah, that'll be a little bit of a journey, I think, but luckily the doctor was really attentive and I felt heard, and I feel good about knowing what's going on and kind of where we're headed.
Awesome. I feel like mom intuition is just such a thing. Oh, yeah. And so I feel like that's so great that, yeah, you talk to your pediatrician, and yeah, hopefully you're getting the tools and support that you need to best support Graham.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So feeling good. I don't really have nays, do you?
I mean, like, my only nays this week are vacation related, and just the sense of like, normally a tradition that Colin and I normally do is we go out on, they call it like their party deck, is just a deck above the dock, and watch the sunset together. And unfortunately that didn't happen this week.
No.
Main reason for that is we happened to be there the week of a severe hot weather.
Oh yeah, heat wave.
Yes, heat wave. Thank you. And I just feel like a heat wave with humidity is just like on another level. Yeah. And so I feel like there probably were a couple evenings that we could have gone out and done it, but it was honestly like so hot. That's like, if I'm going to be out here, I need to be in the water. Yeah. And then the last night we were there, it thunderstormed, which granted, yes, it was during a heat wave, but I feel like normally when we go, there's like at least one day that we're there where it just like happens to rain all day. Yes, it was hot, but like it was great weather. Like we could swim every day, which was great. But yeah, so obviously we'll be going back in the future, so Colin and I will catch the sunset
next
then. Next time, for sure. And I will say, I just feel like the sunsets there are just so beautiful. Mm. Colin and I joke that they are better than the sunsets in like Santorini. Like that's where we went on our honeymoon. And then I just remember the summer following the summer that we got married, we went to the lake and I was just like, this sunset is so much better.
Oh my gosh.
So I do feel like the sunsets there are really beautiful. So we'll catch one next time we're there. And then another thing that I feel like Colin and I have done a couple times that, again, we just didn't get to, which, again, we'll just do next time, is at least I really enjoy riding on a wave runner with him and going and just looking at the fancy houses that are on the lake. Mm. Like Colin's parents' house, like it's a super nice house, but in comparison to like some of the other houses, for example, like Blake Shelton has a house on the lake. And
okay,
I would say it's like fair to say like Colin's parents' house is not a Blake Shelton house. And so, well, again, it is super nice. Yeah, there's just like some insane houses.
Fun.
So they're just fun to like drive around and just look at them. And yeah, I mean, I guess Colin and I could do that from the comfort of our home on Zillow.
Sure. Or Google Earth.
But yeah, so that's just like fun to check out some of like just the insane homes
fun
that some people have there.
And you didn't end up doing it again too hot, or what's it just didn't get around to it?
Well, we actually legit were going to do it the last night we were there, and then thunderstorm.
Okay, okay, so right.
And yeah, there also was like one day that both the girls were napping the same day and Cole and I were like looking at each other on the couch. I was like, oh, what should we go do? And it was just like too hot.
Like, we're staying around. In the AC.
If you're going to be outside,
you got to be in the water. You have
to literally be
in
the water.
Yeah, for sure.
Or getting dragged on a tube or something behind a boat. But so fun. Yeah. So next time.
Yay. So fun.
Yeah. Well, should we jump into book club for one?
Of course. Do you have one this week? Of course I do. You're not going to guess this. This is a wild story. It's really kind of off what I, a lot of the time what I read, but I enjoy this book. It's called...
I don't know. I feel like we've jumped through a bunch of different genres.
Yeah, we do. So. I feel like I keep kind of... I might fall back as just kind of contemporary romance. And so if I'm not reading that, I'm like, wow, I'm really just treading off the beaten path. But it's a little bit different. But I have read a different book by this author and I loved this book. So I didn't read what this one was about, of course. The cover just says the New York Times bestselling author of The Measure. And I was like, oh, I love The Measure. I'll just read this one. And it's called The Poppy Fields.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell you what it says on the front? It doesn't, it's like a quote. Yes. Okay, it says, a masterful, tender exploration of love, loss, and the poignant echoes of memory. Profoundly moving. And that's a quote from Jamie Ford, a New York Times bestselling author. It's like so vague.
Yeah, okay. That didn't give me as much as the retirement plan did. I mean, what's the title again?
The Poppy Fields.
Okay. Honestly, like, the only thing coming to mind is, I don't know if it's just because I live in Utah, but I feel like there's poppy fields here in Utah, and then, like, everyone gets their family photos taken there. So, I'm thinking, this is going to be so off, but, like, I'm thinking, like, maybe a family spends time in the poppy fields, and, like, tragically, the husband dies, and... I just Googled it super, not the book, I'm not cheating here, but I did just Google, like,
you just read the summary.
No, I did just Google, like, what does the name Poppy mean? Okay. And it says it's associated with remembrance, particularly in the, well, I guess I didn't read the whole thing. It says particularly in the context of World War One. Oh, but
no, I mean, yeah, interesting.
But yeah, I guess I'm thinking someone dies, poppies help them remember.
Wow.
That person.
Okay.
That's what I've got.
That's so interesting because it's like you're actually like a little bit on the right track, but it doesn't really say, at least I don't remember them talking about poppies as remembrance, but it is a little bit like that. So this is a really interesting book about, they call them the Poppy Fields. It's like an experimental treatment center where people who are grieving the loss of a loved one, either like a relationship ending or death, they have the opportunity to go to the Poppy Fields, this treatment center, to sleep for a month. It's a 30-day treatment and they just like put you to sleep. Like, I don't, anyway, it's like, you know, futuristic probably. So when you wake up, in theory, you're kind of healed from the grief. And so it's like you don't have to go through the grieving process. Like, you just kind of go to sleep, sleep it off, and then you feel better when you wake up a month later. But the big side effect is that 1 in 4 people who go to the poppy fields, when they wake up, they don't remember the love that they felt for the person that they lost. And so it's just one of those books that makes you think the entire time. It just is very interesting to think about, and it's a really moving book. It just talks a lot about, yeah, love and loss and what love is. And the little blurb says, a high concept speculative novel about heartache, hope, and human resilience. The Poppy Fields explores the path of grief and healing, a journey at once profoundly universal and unique to every person, posing the questions, how do we heal in the wake of great loss, and how far are we willing to go in order to be healed? And it is a novel. I mean, it's just a story. You know, there's characters. Yeah, the characters are very lovable and, yeah, a moving, thought-provoking book. So I'd probably say, I think I'd say a 4 out of 5. I think I really liked it.
Interesting. Not your rating, but the concept.
For sure. And her other book, I knew it would be something along the lines, like, really makes you think. Her other book was called The Measure, and it was a story of, like, one morning, everyone gets a string delivered to, like, everyone in the world gets a string delivered to them, and they find out that the length of the string represents the length of your life, and which, of course, like, you know, brings up a lot of questions, like, would you want to know how long your string is? What would you do if yours was long or short? And all those kind of really thought-provoking questions. So, interesting stuff.
I would like to know how long my string is. I feel like if someone was like to ask me, like, oh, what superpower do you wish you had? It would be, I would love to be able to see into the future.
Okay. Interesting. I think that's terrifying. No, I don't know. I guess there's just so many pros and cons to that. I mean, maybe it's for you. It's all pros. I don't know. I'm kind of a one day at a time feels like all pros to me. I don't know. That just feels daunting.
What superpower would you want then? Not that one.
I want to teleport. That would be so cool. Just go wherever I want it, anytime.
Like,
no. Just anywhere I want it. I mean, I guess, maybe. Is there such thing as a... that teleports you to, like, different places in different times? No, I just mean, like, anywhere. Like, I could snap my fingers and be on the beach. Like, hello. That would be incredible. No comment.
Yeah, okay. You don't have to, like, sit waiting to take off in your airplane.
Yeah, or, like, plan just, like, and, like... be home. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, maybe when you said teleport, I was thinking time travel. Right. Maybe I didn't really know the meaning of the word. Okay, my bad.
I mean, I'm sure that's, yeah, I guess that's an option too. And that time travel would be cool, I guess. You could just go into the future and then you could find out for yourself.
No, I'll just know what's happening. Okay. I don't need to go there now. Just tell you just me what know. I need to mentally prepare for.
Okay. Yes. Oh, so it's more about prep. Huh. All right. Interesting.
All right. Should we jump into our main topic this
week? Yes, let's do it. This week we're talking all about whimsy and magical parenting. I saw a TikTok where this girl talked about how she parents with whimsy, and I love the word whimsy. I love things being whimsical, and I just thought it would be fun to talk about ways that we parent that feel whimsical to us. And I think, you know, everyone has a different definition of, like, magical childhood or whimsical childhood or whatever, but, you know, people left comments, and I kind of thought about things that were whimsical or magical in my childhood, and I'm always looking for ideas. Like, I love finding fun little new things to try with my kids, or little games to play, or funny, you know, imaginative play ideas and stuff like that. So I just thought this would be a fun topic to kind of talk about. It boils down to just playful parenting again. So just parenting in a way that's a little more fun.
Yeah. And I was just trying to, like, because I feel like I have some room for improvement in this area. So I was trying to, like, look up some ideas online as well. And I came across an article, and there was, like, a psychotherapist referenced in it. And she said, whether it's a special tradition, an unexpected adventure, or a simple heartfelt gesture, these moments stay with us because they evoke feelings of security, belonging, and wonder. And these are emotions that positively shape our sense of self, our memory, and how we view the world. And something that I just took away from that was just, these things don't need to be, like, to make your child's childhood magical or whimsical. Like, they don't need to be extravagant or expensive, or I feel like you don't need to buy a bunch of stuff right. necessarily. But yeah, it's just, like I said, like, some special traditions, or, like, reframing something maybe in a little bit more of a fun, yeah, whimsical way. But
yeah, and a lot of the comments on this kind of parenting were saying, like, oh, so basically we just need to be Bluey's parents. Like, it just kind of, like, that vibe of just, like, we're just having fun, we're making everything a game and doing silly voices and fun games and stuff like that. So a couple of just little ideas or things that people shared that they thought were fun were just little things like having an upside down sleepover and you just put your head at the foot of the bed. Like, it's just little things like that that kids think are just so exciting and so fun. And it just, like you said, it doesn't have to be extravagant. It's just doing fun little things. One that I thought of that Graham and I do, because I did this when I was a teacher, is flashlight reading. So we just turn off the lights and we read our book with a flashlight instead of leaving the lights on. And that's just fun. Another person said, like, singing instead of, like, okay, get your shoes on, just being like, get your shoes on is just, like, a funny, unexpected thing that make kids, you know, a little more excited maybe to go do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, and one thing that I wanted to add was just, like, something that we actually did this past week is my mother-in-law brought bubbles on a walk that we went on in the morning, and the little cousins had so much fun just, like, popping the bubbles as we went on a walk. Cute. And I feel like, you know, I guess I'm boring, like, normally we just, like, go on a walk as a family, but that and also the deer that we happened to run into.
Ooh,
added
very exciting.
Yeah, deer probably optional. Yes. But the bubbles,
the bubble walk,
just made it a little bit more fun.
Super fun. So some other ideas are, like, silly voices, like a Batman voice or a robot voice. something that I do when I'm putting Graham to sleep is I say, where should we meet in our dreams? Or like, what do you want to dream about? And it just makes him think of all his favorite things, basically. And so it makes him really happy. Someone mentioned a pajama fashion show, just like every night, like when they get their pajamas on, just like, I don't know, showing off your PJs. We have a little tiny, you know, I bought it at Walmart for $3, a little tiny disco light that when we have a dance party, we turn off the lights and turn on our little disco light just to make that kind of fun. Someone else said pajama, like Olympics or an obstacle course, like going from wherever you get your jammies on, like into the bathroom to brush teeth and then into the kitchen to get water and then back into the bedroom or whatever and make it like a fun little obstacle course. A little bath party, like with glow sticks or popsicles. I do like making baths fun. I used to be better at that. I've kind of been slacking ever since I had the baby, I guess. But super fun. Forts, indoor picnics. Someone said my mom would wake me up in the middle of the night to play in the snow or to watch a meteor shower. Some moms were like, yeah, whimsical parenting is just rebranding. So instead of saying, let's go get in the tub, you're like, oh, let's go indoor swimming. Like, where's the indoor pool? And it's just the bathtub. And then, yeah, just fun things like scavenger hunts, framing their art or making sure their art is up. To me, that's like the most whimsical thing ever. It's just little kids' art all over my house. I'm just like, oh, that and like bunting. I'm just like, oh, yeah, just put that all over my house. Thank you very much. It feels so magical. Little science experiments like baking soda and vinegar. I had a friend whose mom used to do upside down dinner, which is just eat under the table instead of on the table. And then one that I remembered that was like the most, I mean, my mom did lots of fun stuff, but really memorable was that when I was like 10 or something, I saw on our family calendar that it said like surprise mommy daughter date. Like that's all it said. It was like, you know, coming up in a couple weeks. And I was like, oh, what's that about? And she's like, it's a surprise, obviously. And it killed me. Like every day for the 2 or 3 weeks that it was on the calendar, I was like, mom, please just tell me what we're doing. And she's like, no, I'm not telling you. And she didn't. And the day came and she still wouldn't tell me what we were doing. And we went downtown and we went and sat at this concert hall. And she was so excited. I remember she was telling the people next to us, she doesn't even know who we're seeing. And I was like, who is it? And they were like, you don't even know who you're seeing? And it was our favorite musicians, the Indigo Girls. If you know me, you know, I've seen them 50 times, but that was the first time I ever saw them. And it was so special. My mom and I like listened to their songs and sing their songs all day, every day. We did, and we still do. And it was just so, so special that she didn't even tell me when we got in the car or when we got to the concert hall, like she was like waiting until they came on stage. And when they came on stage, I was like, ah, like just so excited. So again, that's, you know, of course that's like a bigger, more extravagant one, but even just the fact that it was on the calendar and looking forward to it was something that made it so special for me. So I don't know if you have older kids that are reading, I just think it's, and even if it's just like, we're getting ice cream or whatever, just like little surprise date, just something to look forward to is really fun.
Yeah. No, that's so special. So I also feel like there's some ideas that are kind of like food specific. So one could be like everything on their plate is a specific color theme. So maybe there's like an orange day where you do mac and cheese and carrots, or maybe a green day where there's like salad and pesto pasta. Kind of like the opposite of that is like a rainbow plate where every color is on their plate. Similar to what Grace had mentioned earlier about like rebranding things, like someone had shared that growing up they hated chili but they loved bean soup. So just kind of changing the name of
twisting
things.
Stuff so it sounds like better to them.
Yeah, I feel like one that I see a lot is like doing, I think of like pancakes specifically, but like doing food in like the shape of a face. So I feel like when I think pancakes and doing this, I think of like making it into a reindeer or a bunny. I feel like I see those frequently, but I feel like you could do so many things with that. Something that we do at our house on Halloween is we do just like store-bought Pillsbury cinnamon rolls that I need to bake in the oven, but we like shape them into a pumpkin, and then I do orange and green frosting on top. Or, you know, you could like shape cinnamon rolls into hearts for Valentine's Day. But just kind of making, I guess those are kind of like examples of holiday specific foods, but just kind of making those things a little bit more special. I had mentioned on like a previous episode about going to the picnic and doing like a muffin tin lunch. I think that's just like something that's out of our norm and just feels special. Doing like a surprise late night treat. I think kind of similar to what Grace was sharing about doing that surprise date with her mom. And like I've shared also even just in my own experience, like I remember during the summer growing up, like we'd go out in our pajamas and get ice cream. And like that feels like such, yeah, just like a magical memory from my childhood. So I think surprise treats are fun. Another one, adding sprinkles to everything. Sprinkles do just make everything even taste so better, true. I feel like, though.
Of course.
But yeah, like this past Valentine's Day, my family, we did heart-shaped waffles, and I did add sprinkles to those. Because even though we tend to do heart-shaped waffles throughout the year, there's never sprinkles in them. Unless yeah. it's actually Valentine's Amazing. Day. And then I feel like when I was thinking about this topic, I was just thinking about how I want to start a tradition of doing some sort of like Sunday morning breakfast, whether that be like crepes or yeah. some sort of like egg casserole, but like something that is just like our family's
yeah, like every Sunday
morning
That's
breakfast.
A great idea. That's really fun.
So yeah, I want to start doing that. And I feel like the word tradition almost for me can feel like it carries some pressure or something of like, oh my goodness, like Nora's already four, like can I start Sunday morning breakfast tradition? And it's like, of course I can.
Yeah, oh yeah,
you can start a tradition anytime. And I also think you can maybe even like have traditions for only like a phase as
Good
well
point.
Like I feel like while my kids are younger right now, I've mentioned before, like we love going to like baby animal days in the spring or something. And while like I hope they want to do that for a long time, like I feel like that's kind of like an annual tradition for us right now. But you know, when they're 15 and maybe don't want to do that, that's also fun.
Yeah,
like that
was
a tradition
yeah.
we had when they were younger. So I also just think if there's something that you want to start doing to make childhood magical, like that can be done at any time.
Totally.
Even if it is something that you feel like, oh yeah, like I want to turn this into something that we do frequently.
Yeah. I thought of another thing that we do that just like adds a little more laughter. We do this a lot in the car and we just play Would You Rather. Like maybe that seems obvious, but I love to hear obvious stuff. Like I'm like, I need everyone that I know to tell me all the fun things that add a little more laughter and joy into your family life. But we just do the silliest Would You Rather. And my 4-year-old thinks they're so funny, you know, just to say like, would you rather smell a fart or I don't know, you know, lick a telephone pole or something, like, you know, he just thinks it's so funny. And his little giggle when he's like asking us the most crazy would you rather questions are just really fun. And another one that we've been playing recently is this game. I think it was like an improv game or something, but I thought of it recently because we were just looking for something to talk about in the car because I was like, if I hear about Pokemon one more time, I'm just going to be done. I was like, okay, why don't we tell a story where we say something bad happened, but then something good happened? We just say like, fortunately, unfortunately, or something. So I'll say like, oh, we were on our way to work and unfortunately our tire popped. And he's like, but fortunately, we're right by the tire shop. And so then I'm like, but unfortunately, it was closed. And then he just has to keep coming up with things to counteract the bad. And so I don't know. It just something that makes us laugh, and which is all I'm really looking for. I just need more laughter in my life.
I love that idea, and I also feel like what a great way to like teach your child to look at the positive in a situation. I feel like that's such a valuable life skill.
Good point.
I did also just want to share one other quote from the article that I was reading earlier, kind of just again about this topic. But again, the same person, her name's Andrea Dorn, said, in fact, magic can often be found in the small intentional moments that break the routine in simple ways. It's about being present and making your child feel truly seen. So again, just, I said this earlier, but these things don't have to be extravagant or, again, like expensive. I feel like, in my mind, like social media can easily make us feel like for something to be a magical childhood moment that it does need to be extravagant. Or maybe I just feel that way sometimes. No, yeah, but it really doesn't need to be. And again, Grace made fun of me for this kind of, but like camping in the backyard, like I feel like that was so magical for Nora last summer. And I know she's looking forward to it this summer. And well, yes, we did at one point buy a tent. Overall, like a fairly nice. Inexpensive childhood memory. So yeah, I feel like just want to encourage you to, I don't know, see what moments there may be that are just kind of part of like your everyday life already, and any opportunities maybe to just make it more playful and yeah, and whimsical.
So fun. Yeah. And we want to hear from you. I'm so serious when I say, like, I just am looking for fun little different things to just, like, get out of my routine. Like, I just kind of feel like sometimes motherhood can just feel like Groundhog Day, and not in a bad way even. But I mean, you know, sometimes maybe. But generally, I'm just kind of like, okay, we did the same thing over and over again. Like, it's just, which is great. You know, of course, like, routine is great and stuff. But just anything to kind of make me feel like my day went a little bit differently or was a little more fun. I'm always looking for ideas. So please, we'll put it up there on Instagram when this episode comes out, looking for you to tell us what kind of things make you guys laugh or add a little more whimsy to your parenting journey.
Love that. Yes. While we did share some ideas, yeah, we'd love more ideas from you as well.
So fun. Okay. Should we switch up our dinner rotation?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay, yeah, so I have this week shawarma, chicken, and rice bowls. Ooh. And this meal I'm sharing because I have a couple friends that recently had babies, and I was out of town last week, so obviously I wasn't able to take them dinner then. So I am taking them dinner this week, and I feel like, in my opinion, I feel like this is a great meal to take to someone. Ooh. So think, like, Greek-esque, but it's just like grilled chicken, or you could cook it on your stove, or you could smoke it, however you want to do that. But just some chicken, and you marinate it in plain yogurt, lemon juice, garlic, garlic powder, paprika, turmeric, or I almost said Oregon, oregano, cumin, and chili flakes. Like I said, I am tired. And cook it, and then I just dice it up, and I also make some turmeric rice. So that's just basmati rice, some like chicken bouillon, turmeric, and cumin, and then a tzatziki-ish sauce. So just more plain yogurt, mayonnaise, parsley, lemon juice, garlic, and salt. And I also will take over with it some like shredded lettuce, diced up tomato, pita. So if they want, they could eat it on the pita bread or like make it into a bowl or whatever. But at least in my personal opinion, like something that comes to mind, I feel like when taking someone a meal, sometimes I'm like thinking like, okay, well, like I don't want to take them something that like everyone else is taking them, which I tend to think maybe like casseroles or maybe like lasagnas or like, I don't know, stuff like that. So this is like one of my go-to things that I feel like it's not a casserole. So hopefully maybe it changes up a little bit what they're eating. I also feel like in my mind, at least, it's like a little bit on the healthier side, healthy slash like
nourishing.
What am I trying to say? Nourishing. Exactly. Thank you, Grace. Amazing. Yeah. So that's what I have this week.
Amazing.
What about you, Grace?
Well, I made a, here's the thing. I didn't make the actual curry sauce, so it's just like really easy. You could make it if you want, I guess. But I was walking through the aisles of Trader Joe's, as one does, and I saw their Thai yellow curry sauce, and I was like, I need this. That sounded so good to me. And I just did chicken thighs, potatoes, and carrots in it and let it simmer forever and served it over rice. It was so good. So if you don't have a Trader Joe's near you, or maybe, I mean, there's probably yellow Thai curry sauce at all grocery stores. So what am I talking about? Yeah, easy if you buy the sauce. And if not, then go ahead and make your own yellow curry. It was so good. So highly recommend.
Awesome.
Keeping my Asian theme.
Is it? I guess I always think of like curry as like Indian food.
Yeah, I think generally people think of
is
that.
Is Indian food considered Asian?
India's in Asia, isn't it? This is a Thai curry, so a Thailand, okay, also in Asia. But yeah, I think there's just lots of different types of curries. Like I went to my cute neighbor owns a restaurant, and she's from Nepal, and they had a bunch of curries there. So I'm just, you know, I'm just learning more, but there's
curries everywhere.
Everywhere, I think. Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, I feel like I'd probably be more inclined to make my own, so I'll have to check out the recipe.
Yeah, good luck with that.
As a reminder, everyone, go to the link in our Instagram bio for links to all the recipes.
Yes. There you go.
All right. Well, I think that's all that we have for you this week. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Full Time Moms. You can find us on Instagram at Full Time Moms Podcast for highlights from the show. Please follow or subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review so we can grow our community. We'll catch up again next Wednesday. Until then, we're rooting for you.
You go, girl.